I'd be nice to speak on the power of habits. This is the most important subject. What is our habit? What is our habit, and what should our habit be? Shastra recommends smartavya satatam vishnu vismartavya najatu chit. Always think of Krishna and never forget him. Sarva vidhi nishedasya. What's the next line? Etaya eva kinkaraha. All the rules and regulations in Shastra serve as servants to this injunction. Hare Krishna. I'll just touch like this because I have an allergy. You got another garland. All the rules and regulations in Shastras are meant to lead us to this habit of always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting him. There are different rules and regulations in Shastras. Some are for habits. That is called Nitya Kriya. Activities to be formed on a daily basis. Daily, one should rise early, bathe. We may say, well, how does that help us to think of Krishna? It doesn't. In and of itself, it doesn't. But it is a subsidiary of those habits which will help us to remember Krishna, which should be performed in consonance with other elementary rules and regulations for rising early in the morning and bathing, as Prabhupada said. Maybe I should just wear one and then they'll stop giving me a... I have an allergy, so if it touches the skin, it becomes more. Prabhupada noted this, rising early in the morning and bathing, it's just good sense, it's good for health. So it's a good habit to do so. Of course, the modern habit is quite different. Rise late, as late, take rest late. But that's good sense, that helps to keep the body healthy. According to Ayurveda, early in the morning, the body goes through some changes, there's a cycle. The body has certain habits. So the body goes through changes at certain times. Early in the morning or throughout the night, the body has been giving off poisons through the various pores and outlets. And it's very healthy to rise at that time to take bath, to wash off all the accumulated accretions. But that is not in and of itself the goal of life, to have a healthy body. But one should maintain a healthy body for the sake of Krishna consciousness. One should desire a healthy life, not in and of itself. Because however healthy we may be, however much we may go to the gym and do push-ups and have a careful diet and do yoga, anyway the body has to die. So, health in and of itself is not the goal of life. But if by following some basic rules that are given in Shastra for health, we can have better health, then better to do so. Because this human form of life is valuable only in as much as it gives us the opportunity to develop the habit of always thinking of Krishna. Not only thinking of Krishna, because to thinking of him, serving him. So there are many rules and regulations in Shastra. Many of the rules and regulations in Shastra are for forming habits which will bring us to sattva gun. And from beyond sattva gun to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, Sattvam Vishuddham, Vasudeva Shabditam, the platform of always thinking of Vasudeva.
Did the books come? That's it? Okay.
So, we can adopt the Shastra Vidhi as much as possible in modern life also. There are many rules which in the modern age, in city life, are not possible to follow. Just like one should pass stool at a distance from one's residence, probably in the heart of the city of Bangalore, that wouldn't be allowed, it would be illegal. In America, a few years ago, I was at one of our rural communities, and someone was building a house, and I said, why are you putting an attached bathroom? Why don't you put it outside? One name for toilet, it used to be outhouse in English, because it was, even in England, which are the beef eaters, but of course in India people are beef eaters also now, but they, by their habit, by long acquired habit, which is called tradition, in England people are beef eaters, but even they used to keep the place for passing stool outside, not attached bathroom. In Russia they still have, like that. Latvia also must be, you don't know, in the village. They keep outhouse, because why do you want to pass stool right next to where you're living? Even they have enough sense to do that. But nowadays you can't do, because we're more advanced. We pass stool right next to the place we do the cooking. So some rules we may not be able to follow, but as much as we follow these rules, they will help us to advance in spiritual life. Spiritual life begins with rising early in the morning, and spiritual life ends with not rising early in the morning. That means, it doesn't mean that the perfection of life is not to rise early in the morning, but it means we don't have any spiritual life unless we have the habit of rising early in the morning. Modern society is giving us rakshasa habits of staying up very late. Rakshasa, another word for rakshasa that's generally used, we find in Ramayana especially, is nishacha, which means those who, they move around principally at night. So in the modern age, we've become nishacha. We especially like to go out at night. But this is the habit of rakshasas. And it may be very good for rakshasas. They get more strength for catching you and me, those who are in human bodies, and eating them. But for human beings, it's not healthy to be moving around at night. For human beings, it's the habits are delineated in Shastra. At certain time of day you should do this, certain time of day you should do this, certain time of day you should do this. Resting is at night. If one is very spiritually advanced, he may not even sleep at night, but then he won't be doing press-ups. He'll be sitting, chanting, writing like this. Night is not a time for activity except for rakshasas. A modern society, rakshasa society, they like to move around at night and sleep during Brahma Muhurta. So in this way they've... Now we may say, well, you know, what's wrong with that? Well, because the human body is designed to interact with the movements of the sun in certain ways, therefore it's unhealthy. We'll find, just like anyone here work in a call center or has worked in a call center, so how do you find it being up all night? It's horrible, yeah. It's bad for health, isn't it? Your whole body feels all strained and drawn out, and you can't actually do. Over a long period of time, you'll find the health will become very bad, because the body is just not meant for that, for staying up all night, and all the digestion gets affected, and even though you sleep, it won't be the same. You can't get the same proper rest. So we may think that, well, Shastra, that's all old-fashioned, but actually the rules and regulations given in Shastra, they're very good for forming habits that will help us to keep the body healthy without much endeavor. And it will help us to come to the platform of Sattva Gun, And ultimately to go beyond sattva gun to the level of shuddha sattva, which means the level of always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. Now, as I was saying, it's difficult to follow all these shastric rules in the modern age. We can follow as much as we can, but it may be difficult to follow all of them. But there is one habit which is especially recommended in Kali Yuga, which helps to, not only helps to, but fully makes up, compensates for the inability to follow all the other habit-forming rules, and that is the chanting of Hare Krishna. By developing this habit of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, all the discrepancies from not being able to follow the other rules are not only compensated for, but we can get the full benefit of following all the Vedic rules and more by chanting Hare Krishna. I'd like to instruct you in one habit. Please don't lean like this in front of the deities. It's also a good habit not to chant rounds during a class. You may say, well, I have to chant my rounds, but then you please either listen to the class or listen to your chanting, but you can't do both. So please do one or the other. There are many habits to acquire. We have so many wrong habits. Even people who may be following this Vedic culture, and there are very few nowadays, still the habit of always thinking of Krishna, we have to acquire that habit in opposition to all the bad habits we have acquired through millions of lifetimes. We have the habit of not thinking of Krishna, of thinking of everything that is Krishnetara. That means anything that is conceived of as not being Krishna. Ritayatam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta charmani tad vidyat amanoramayam yata bhaso yata tamaha. What is maya? Everything that is conceived of without a relationship with Krishna, that is maya. So our habit is to think of everything not related to Krishna and to take everything not related to Krishna very seriously. Actually, there's nothing not related to Krishna, but we conceive of it like that. We have the habit of seeing everything outside of its relationship with Krishna. This is our wrong habit. So the most important habit, so that we can develop the habit of always thinking of Krishna, is to hear about Krishna from persons who are aware of Krishna's immanency. Immanency means presence in everything. How we can learn how to see Krishna everywhere. We are blind. We see everything, but we do not see Krishna. There is nothing but Krishna. Not in the sense of the Mayavadis, who say that kevala advaita, everything is only one. No, the Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord. He is different and non-different from everything. Seeing like this, this habit has to be acquired. We can acquire that habit when we of seeing everything in relationship with Krishna, seeing Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna, by hearing from devotees how Krishna is in everything, how Krishna is outside of everything also, but how everything is absolutely intrinsically related with Krishna. Otherwise, we have the very stubborn habit of conceiving of everything not in relationship to Krishna. And as a result, or concomitant with this, we see everything as an object of my enjoyment. When we see everything in relationship with Krishna, we know that everything has to be offered to Krishna. Everything is only meant for serving Krishna. Everything. Nothing is meant for my pleasure. But when we don't see the relationship with Krishna, why don't we see the relationship with Krishna? Because we think, Ishvara aham bhogi. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. But Krishna is the enjoyer. Krishna is the controller. Anyone but Krishna who thinks, Ishvara aham aham bhogi, is a demon. We are possessed of the demoniac mentality of seeing everything separate from Krishna. We have this wrong habit of seeing everything separate from Krishna. And as a result, we see everything in this world as something for my enjoyment. This wrong habit. Therefore, we are attracted to sense objects. We are attracted. We see. Whatever we see, we want to enjoy. This is our bad habit. The power of this bad habit is to keep us continuously, in situations where we can attempt to enjoy this material world. This, by rup, ras, gandha, sparsha, shabda, we're attracted to this material world because we think this is something for my enjoyment. But the result of this habit of trying to enjoy this material world is that we are habitually placed in different bodies to try to enjoy this material world. So understanding this, we should understand what is the importance of changing our habit. We have a very bad habit of seeing everything outside of its relationship with Krishna. And we just have to change this habit, just this one thing. Instead of looking at everything and thinking, how I can enjoy, smelling something, how I can enjoy, thinking, how I can enjoy, we just have to acquire the habit of seeing everything in relationship with Krishna, understanding I am a servant of Krishna, and see something. This should be engaged in Krishna's service. You hear something. Whatever we hear, is this in relationship to Krishna? No, this sound is coming, this is contaminated sound, because it is coming from someone who wants to exploit Krishna, wants to enjoy Krishna. Instead of serving Krishna, wants to make Krishna his servant. Then we shall not like to listen to that sound. We shall only like to hear sounds that remind us of Krishna and our relationship with Him. So this habit has to be cultivated. We are in this material world is a place for cultivating wrong habits. The right habit is to think of Krishna. Then how will we cultivate that habit? We won't find it in McDonald's or Wipro or HP or in the bus stand. We'll have to associate with persons for whom remembrance of an attitude of service to Krishna is as habitual as our non-remembrance of Krishna. Just as we don't even recognize, we're so much habituated to not thinking of Krishna that we think it's normal. And we think remembrance of Krishna is something very strange. We think that, so people who think it's normal, whether it's going to a disco or going to a Ganesh temple, it's all forgetfulness of Krishna. At different degrees. So, this remembrance of Krishna, we shall have to acquire that by associating with persons who themselves have cultivated the habit, or better still, for whom it is as natural to remember Krishna as it is for us, for our thoughts to go here, there, everywhere, Krishnetara, never thinking of Krishna. Once Srila Prabhupada, he was asked by a lady in San Francisco Airport, that what is this? What is this? What are you teaching? It was obvious by his dress that Prabhupada was a religious teacher. So Prabhupada explained that we are teaching to always think of Krishna. And she said, well, how is that possible to always think of Krishna? We have our work to do and so many things to do. So Prabhupada gave the example that, well, it's just like you're doing your job, but you're also conscious of your hair, isn't it? That every so often you have to pull the mirror out and comb your ladies, and they have their makeup and their different perms, and how they're, you're always conscious that your hair is looking nice. He said, yeah. That you don't want the hair to look all wild, and nowadays that's a fashion, but previously people like to keep their hair very, very, how do you say, all together and looking ordered. As people's consciousness becomes more disordered, that's reflected in their fashion also. So people like to keep their, I like to keep my hair looking nice. You're always conscious of that, even while you're doing your work, yes. So that is what Krishna consciousness means, to always be conscious of Krishna. Just like Arjuna, he was fighting so ferociously. How could he think of Krishna? Well, of course Krishna was with him, but he was behind him. Arjuna was looking for, when he's firing the arrows, then you know, who is there, and the arrows are coming this way, that way, how is he going to think of Krishna? But Krishna told, Mahamanusmara yudhya cha, think of me and fight. Not yudhya first and then Mahamanusmara. You think of me and fight. The most important thing, you think of me and you fight. So how to acquire that habit? For Arjuna it was natural. Actually for everyone it's natural, but we are in the unnatural position of not thinking of Krishna. So we have to acquire that habit. It may not be acquired immediately. So we'll have to acquire the intermediate habit of cultivating Krishna consciousness. That means sadhana bhakti. We're talking about the power of habits. The power of sadhana bhakti is that it lifts us out of this material world and takes us to Krishna. It is the most powerful habit. It is a more powerful habit than that of our habituation to Maya. Krishna consciousness is stronger than Maya. If we take to sadhana bhakti very strongly, then the power of that habit will be to lift us to the stage of Krishna consciousness, where we always think of Krishna, which is the perfection of life. So this habit we should acquire, sadhana bhakti, which begins with hearing shravanadi shuddha chitte kare udai nitya siddha Krishna praying. Krishna consciousness is not something to be acquired. We are all by constitution Krishna conscious beings, but therefore sadhya kabunai, but that Krishna consciousness that has to be reawakened by the process which begins by hearing about Krishna. Before kirtan comes shrava, we have to hear. First of all, we have to hear why we should chant Hare Krishna, how to chant Hare Krishna, and how by chanting we can get the actual result of chanting. Otherwise, bahu janma kare jadi shravan kirtan tabuta na pahi Krishna pade prema dham. We can chant, we can go on hearing and chanting for many lifetimes, but if we don't do so in the correct manner, we won't get the result of hearing and chanting, which is that our love of Krishna will be revived. So Krishna consciousness is a very precise process. The goal of Krishna consciousness is to develop love of Krishna. There are certain techniques or habits that if we acquire them, then we can very quickly advance in Krishna consciousness. And if we don't acquire the correct habits, then even if we take to Krishna consciousness, we won't actually get the proper result. We may be doing some of the, we may be following some of the habits or some of the techniques, but if we don't follow them all together, then it doesn't work. Just like in making chapatis, you can do everything. You can have the nice tawa and a good fire and good atta and water and have all the ingredients, but if we put too much water, then we won't get chapatis. It will be inedible. If we put 1 kilo of atta and 10 liters of water, then we're not going to get chapatis. Everything has to be just correct. So similarly, if we maintain improper habits, then even by adopting the good habits of hearing and chanting about Krishna, if we maintain other habits such as talking gramya katha, talking nonsense in other words, or talking about topics of this material world, or taking an interest in affairs of this world, every day studying assiduously the newspaper, watching television, following sports, then we won't get Krishna consciousness. It's not possible. We have to take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. There is no meaning, otherwise it's not Krishna consciousness. If we're maintaining Maya consciousness, if we have the habit of maintaining Maya consciousness, then where is there Krishna consciousness? It's not a hobby. Krishna consciousness means to always think of Krishna. We have to cultivate the habit of doing so. Krishna is not so cheap. We shouldn't think that, well, chanting Hare Krishna is a very easy process, therefore we shall take it very cheaply. It's easy, yes, but we have to take it seriously to get the result. We have to do it properly, just like, getting on a bus is easy, but if you don't do it properly, then you end up under the bus. The result is not very good. So we shouldn't say, well, getting on a bus is easy, so, you know, it doesn't really matter. You can get on the bus when it's not, when it's already moving, or, no, you have to do it properly, otherwise you may get an opposite result. So in Krishna consciousness, the acharyas, they have given us the process by which every one of us, we can get out of this disgusting material world, and we don't have to think about working for Wipro or working for HP or working for Krishna. We don't have to be disturbed by thoughts of my career and all other things, which are actually just nonsense, because it's just an obstruction. If we're thinking how I can develop my career and get ahead, and it's just an obstruction in the real thing we have to do, which is get out of this disgusting material world and go to Krishna. But due to the force of our habit, where we preach to people, yes, yes, you have a career and be Krishna conscious also. But if we're really to speak the truth, we should tell that actually all this is nonsense. The so-called getting ahead, it's just another method of forgetting Krishna, that's all. It's cultivating a material desire. People are very much attached to these material desires, so we sometimes say like this, yes, yes, you have a good career and you'll be Krishna conscious. But at some point we have to say that, my dear sir, you know, your good career, you're careering all the way to hell. Or if you may chant Hare Krishna, but unless we give up material desires, then we're going to get another birth. So at some point, someone has to tell this. In the beginning, generally we don't. Sorry if I spoil your preaching techniques. But at some point in time, we have to understand that everything in this material world is temporary, meaningless, and if not conceived of in relationship to Krishna, then it is anartha. It is an obstacle in our understanding Krishna. So, these points have to be understood very clearly. First of all, we shall have to define the goal. What is our goal? Now we may say, well, I have this goal. I'd like to be Krishna conscious and I'd like to be CEO of a big CEO of an MNC. It's all talking acronyms these days. So, but what is the use? The Shastras told us that even the position of Indra, he laughs at dozens of CEOs, put all dozens of CEOs together, and Indra is just laughing. Who are these? What are these ants thinking themselves very big? And Indra, what is his position? It was a very big position, Indra. Vidhima Indra adishchakitayate. One who has actually got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a little bit of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thinks that the position of Indra and Brahma is nothing more than that of a worm. It's completely insignificant. So we are recommending develop the habit by which we can get the highest goal of life. The highest goal is not to become bigger than, what's this fellow's name? Premji Aziz or something. What's his name?
Azim Premji.
So he's an unfortunate person. He hasn't understood what is Prem. He only has that name. He's a very unfortunate person. Like, what's the population of Bangalore? 1 crore, there's a lot of difference between 1 crore and 65. Okay, let's say 65 lakhs. And another, how many people came today? 65 lakhs and 150 more. Every day increasing, right? So the whole population of Bangalore, we have 65 lakhs unfortunate people thinking themselves very fortunate because I'm living in Bangalore, even though there's no water supply. But anyway, it was so unfortunate. Someone saying, I've got a good job. I work 14 hours a day and then I go and spend all the money at the weekend drinking beer and all these. Unfortunate. People do not know what the goal of life is. And even many people take to Krishna consciousness, but they simultaneously maintain their misfortune due to misunderstanding of what actually Krishna consciousness is. Maintaining on, I shall be fortunate materially and spiritually, not understanding that there's no such thing as fortunate materially. The only good fortune that we can have in material life is to understand that there's no good fortune in material life. That's the beginning and the end of it. There's nothing. Nāvina kichu nahi kawa. There's nothing to be had in all the worlds except Krishna consciousness. And as long as we're thinking that there's anything worthwhile attaining in this material world, then we won't get Krishna. So, on this basis, we can begin to develop our habits. That first, see what is the goal. Start with the goal in mind, said the great acharya of the modern age, Stephen Covey. Start with the end in mind. So, it's good advice. Of course, he didn't make it up. But what is the first we have to ascertain, what is our goal? Is our goal to become big in this material world? You can become big. You can become an elephant. It's very big. Or you can become a queen. You like to become very big, shot, queen. You can become a queen in an anthill. Or you can become the leader of a group of dogs. Mostly that happens. People, they're very eager to become a big leader in this world. So in their next life they get the opportunity. The pack of dogs on the street, they become the leader. This is how the karma chakra works. Kala chakra, karma chakra, works like this. So the first habit we should have is how to become free from foolishness and actually become intelligent. First we should see, what is the goal? What do we want? We want to become a leader of a pack of fools? We are not recommended. Rather, far better than to become the leader of a pack of fools is to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of those who are actually intelligent, which means those who are the devotees. That is a far more exalted position. We have so many examples in history. Actually intelligent people, they left behind their kingdoms, their power, their palaces, their family. They left behind, and that's Chakva Turnama Shesha Mandala Patishaining Sada Tuchavat. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they all were very influential people, very wealthy, powerful. They gave it all up as insignificant because they had something much more important to attain, much greater to attain, which is the service of the service of the service of the service of the devotees. The devotees exalted is most exalted because they are in connection with Krishna. And whatever we think is exalted and important in this material world, it's exalted foolishness, that's all. Pumped up foolishness. And therefore we think that people who have got money, power, position, they are very important. No, even the neophyte devotee is far more important in Krishna's eyes, which is really important, than any so-called big person of this material world. This should be understood. On the basis of this, we can develop our habits, beginning with rising early in the morning. Why? Because we have to chant Hare Krishna. And why we're chanting Hare Krishna? To please Krishna. So we can develop the habit of doing everything to please Krishna. So this, in summary, are the habits that we can develop. They're not difficult habits. It's not difficult to chant Hare Krishna. There's nothing physically difficult about picking up a bead bag. Better use bead bag than these clickers, which I see are popular here. The acharyas and shastra told us to use beads. So pick up a bead bag, to move it and to chant the name of Krishna, it is not difficult. But we have the habit of not wanting to do that. So take up this habit, chanting Hare Krishna. Hearing. We like to hear. What is the news? What is going on in the cricket match? What is going on in politics? What's going on in the company? What's going on in the cinema? It is very good to stop this habit. People are asking us so many times, people ask us, how can we get shanti? And they're asking this with the TV blaring in the background. How are you going to get shanti? First thing, get the TV out. There's no question of shanti with TV. Remove all the superfluous things in our lives. Maya means to adopt or to possess or to have the habit of so many superfluous things. Superfluous, do you want to know what superfluous means? It means that which is not necessary, unnecessary things. So we, especially in the modern age, people's homes are full of superfluous things. You go in any home, you open the cupboard, and out of it falls dozens of broken toys. So many useless toys they bought for their children, which their children are not interested in. So we are acquiring superfluous objects. So many different things we need, we think we need, which we don't need. And we're acquiring superfluous thoughts in our stupid minds. We're thinking of so many useless things. And the newspaper, that also means how to think of so many things. We don't really need to know day by day what's going on in Pakistan and Iraq. And we definitely don't need to know what's going on in the cricket match, but there's the news. We fill our minds full of so many useless things. We watch TV and again, some imaginary story is going on, and we have the habit of turning on the TV. What will happen? It's all just some imaginary drama. Nonsense. We have all these bad habits of filling up our consciousness with that which is of no value to it. Not only no value, but it's just the opposite of having any value. It drags us in the opposite direction to that which is our artha, or that which is really valuable. We are acquiring anartha. Anartha means that which is superfluous. So the acharyas and shastra give us the process by which we can become free from bad habits and adopt the good habits which will actually be beneficial for us. But we have to go on hearing. One of the most important habits, we have to go on hearing about what is actually for our benefit, because everywhere, wherever we go, we're hearing people are telling, this is great, this one, I got a new job and it's great, and I got so much money, and I got a new car, and it's so wonderful, and this and this and that and that. We're in the world of madness, where people have acquired the habit of encouraging each other in their madness. So we should acquire the habit of associating with persons who are sane. To recognize who is sane, we have to be, first of all, become a little bit sane ourselves. If we're always associating with mad people, then we'll also become mad. It happens to the people in the Pagalkhana, the insanatorium, that they also become, because how are you going to deal with crazy people? You have to be crazy. I was told that sometimes they used to put some, as an experiment, they put the so-called normal people in the insane house, and all the insane people noticed, but the workers there who were supposed to be sane, they couldn't work out who's insane and who's insane. They got the report, this person is insane. Oh, okay. They didn't. The actually insane people, they immediately knew there's something funny about these people. But the workers in the hospital, they couldn't understand. Anyway. So we have to associate with sane people. Sane people means those who do not have the habit of filling their consciousness with that which is superfluous to our actual wealth. Those who have the habit of hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is the habit we need to cultivate. Namagane sadaruchihi. I have the habit of always chanting the holy names. So this habit we should acquire. We should acquire the habit of taking to Krishna consciousness, hearing from devotees, chanting the holy names, rising early, engaging in sadhana, and keeping our goal fixed, that now I understand I have very bad habits I have to get free from. The bad habit of not thinking of Krishna, not making Krishna the goal of my life. So you have to become free from this habit. It may take some time, because many millions of lifetimes we've been cultivating the practice of forgetting Krishna. So to get free from that bad habit may take some time, but the process of sadhana bhakti, if taken to very seriously, is very effective. So please try to cultivate this habit. Is there any question about this?
So even if you understand on the intellectual level that actually to maintain bad habits is not good, and we engage ourselves in the process of bhakti yoga, and then we are not really satisfied maybe on the emotional level, because you know, we have a relationship with Krishna, but I cannot really perceive my relationship with Krishna. So therefore, I am searching, you know, for pleasure in other things, because I don't see really my
the contention is that we may be following the process of sadhana bhakti, but because we haven't developed our relationship with Krishna, we remain dissatisfied on the emotional level, And therefore, we seek happiness in that which is Krishnetara, that which is not directly conceived of in relationship with Krishna. I'll develop relationship with Krishna. It's not something that I think sometimes I've always had the idea that you do sadhana and you go on and you go on and you go on, become more and more purified, and then all of a sudden you have some, all of a sudden there's a big flash, a big bang, and then all of a sudden you're Krishna conscious. But it's maybe our Rasa Acharya and Rasa Acharya Anuga. Nityanand, he could tell something about this. Sada kana mayam prena padur bhave bhavet. And the next word is krama. The process of developing Krishna is gradual. Krama literally means step, step by step. So when we say sadhana bhakti is a process, it doesn't mean totally mechanical. There are certain rules and regulations to follow, but from the very beginning, we have to pray, Ai nanda tanaja kinkaram patitam pam vishame bhavam buddho kripayata tavapada pankaja stita duli sadrishin vachinta. Krishna, I forgot you, I'm such a fool. I've been in this material world serving family, friends, dogs, cats, horses for so many millions of lifetimes. Now, let me remember, now please bring me to you. So from the very beginning, we have to pray to Krishna. That's actually one of the rules. As a rule, you should pray to Krishna. But pray doesn't just mean Krishna. Krishna! Oh, Krishna, I forgot you. Pray to Krishna. From the beginning, develop relationship. And develop relationship with devotees. Develop relationship with devotees means that not mundane, no mundane relationship with devotees, that we're all endeavoring to serve Krishna together. So from the very, Krishna consciousness is, it's a spiritual process from the very beginning, and spiritual means relationship. So don't remain emotionally dissatisfied. We shouldn't think that I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, but I have to have a relationship, a mayic relationship. Everything is there. And the most important, Krishna consciousness means only relationship, nothing else. It's not the most important thing about Krishna consciousness, it is Krishna consciousness. We start off with sambandha gyan. Then we follow abhideya, the sambandha gyan, understanding what is our relationship with Krishna. Then abhideya means the process, which is only meant, all the rules and regulations of devotional service are only meant for developing that sambandha. We have the knowledge of sambandha, what is our relationship with Krishna. The rules and regulations are meant for developing that, and prayojan means that we're actually entered that sambandha. It's the Krishna consciousness only about relationship. But without knowledge of that relationship, then we may try to substitute some mundane ideas about relationship. And this is actually happening in our ISKCON at the present time. There's another important point you can make a note of, if you haven't already done so, Nityanand. That due to lack of rasa gyan or cultivation of rasa, therefore, we are trying to substitute mundane psychological ideas. But mundane psychological ideas means mundane. The psychologists, they don't get anywhere even up to Shantaras. They're stuck in the Janaras. So if we think that we shall learn about relationships from non-devotees, and then we think we'll relate better with devotees, no, because devotees, By very definition, devotees can only be related to on the spiritual platform, because devotee is not a mundane designation. So rasa jnana is required. Not only rasa jnana, but we have to begin to uncover that relationship from the very beginning. At the same time, we have to. We may think, well, my friends, my family, and they were so nice, and we may think like that. But we should know that that niceness is the kiss of death. That's only bringing us back to birth and death. We have to very clearly distinguish between what is the prakriti rasa, mundane rasa, and aprakriti rasa. Misunderstanding of this means that we become mundane, then we become prakriti sahajya, and we take the spiritual exchange, we not attaining that, we pretend to attain it, but actually we're just on the mundane platform. Then we become offenders. We instead of going up to Krishna's platform, we try to bring Krishna down to our platform. Then we become prakriti sahajiya. So yes, unless we develop relationship with Krishna and with his devotees, then again we become mundaners, either explicitly or as prakriti sahajiya, pretending to be a devotee on the highest level, but actually on the lowest level. So there's been a lot of discussion about this in ISKCON in the last few years, our emotional needs. But discussion of emotion without, discussion of anything without relationship to Shastra will simply bring us down to the mundane platform. Discussing emotional needs without understanding that our real emotional need is called prem prayojan. That is our real need, love of Krishna. And anything else apart from that is an obstacle to development of prem prayojan. We may superficially, temporarily, very temporarily get some satisfaction from some mundane relationship. But it doesn't work. There's no happiness in this material world. The thought that we can be happy in a mundane relationship is that which binds us to this material world. Someone else had a question? Somebody had a question, yeah.
Continuing with the same, like you answered, that we should not maintain mundane relationships with the devotees. Can you just elaborate on what is a
mundane? We should not maintain mundane relationships with devotees. That means we should, with devotees, we discuss about Krishna and Krishna consciousness. We may think, well, I don't have a very good relationship with that devotee, so let's go and play a game of basketball with him. Then we'll have a better relationship. This is sometimes people say like this. You do some sports and we can have better relationships. But no, we should go on Harinam together and serve Krishna, discuss Shastra together, do service together, discuss how we can both improve our Krishna consciousness. We may have a better relationship, but if it's mundane, then it's only superficially better. You were going to ask?
What about some introducement in some different seminars, like connect with Krishna consciousness, with all about psychology, but connect with how to behave, how to manage?
Seminars connected with Krishna consciousness, psychology, management. Well, if they are, if it's according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, very good. We have to live in this world. Krishna consciousness is not wholly otherworldly. The acharyas of Shastra gives us practical direction how we can live in this world and how to get out of it. So yes, can be. But then if we're going to discuss psychology, we should discuss from Shastra, not from Freud and Jung and all these people who don't know what is the fact.
No, I mean there is some seminars with mundane psychology introducing in Krishna consciousness.
It may be for mundane people. We start off with something mundane and bring them up. But then we should bring them up. Then if we start with mundane, if the idea is to preach Krishna consciousness through mundane psychology, We may start with mundane psychology, but we should not finish with it. When they come out of the seminar, they should understand that mundane psychology is mundane and Krishna consciousness is reality. Otherwise, the seminar is useless. If at the end they're still thinking that mundane psychology is something very good, then what's the use of this seminar?
Initially you mentioned good habits like getting up early, which are further conducive to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we are trying, we'll try like for getting up early and chanting. So we may be successful for 7 days, 8 days again we'll get up late. Then again 7 days. So why do such failures happen and how to correct them?
Did everyone hear the question? Getting up early in the morning, we don't get up, we do for a few days, then we don't. When Prabhupada was asked this question, what to do about this, he said, come and live with us. That was his answer. We'll get you up. There's a sample answer from the self-realized Acharya. That's one answer. That's the best solution. You ready for that? Of course, nowadays. I don't know, maybe in the ashram they're sleeping. So, anyway, there are other things. What else? Any other suggestions? I made that solution myself, so. You can impose a fine on yourself. For every 15 minutes you're up late, that's 2 rounds, chant an extra 2 rounds. Krishna conscious fine. Prabhupada gave a fine, said if you miss Mangalati, you have to distribute one Krishna book. How about that? That doesn't mean you sleep late and distribute more Krishna books. We are expert at cheating ourselves. If we're cheating ourselves, then we can't be Krishna conscious. Again, sadhu sangha is very important. We can take from Prabhupada's answer what is the importance of sadhu sangha. Isn't it? Sangha shakti kalo yoga. In Kali Yuga, strength in numbers. In Satya Yuga, you go off alone and do meditation. But in Kali Yuga, everyone come together. When coming together again doesn't mean we come together and have a pizza party. Come together means we come and help each other to advance in Krishna consciousness. Understanding what is the importance, what is the seriousness of Krishna consciousness. And maybe a pizza party. Don't invite me, I won't go. But you may have things like that, but there may be such things. Some kind of conviviality or something like that. But more important is that we come together and discuss how we can advance in Krishna consciousness. Very, very serious business. Then one more question and I'll finish.
How to develop our service?
Again, I didn't listen to what the question was. Again, the answer to all this how-to question is sadhu sangha. Whatever quality we see that we feel we should have, we don't have, is very helpful to associate with those who do have. Then by their inspiration and by their guidance, then we will be aided to get that quality. There's so many of these questions, how to. That means we know, but we're not doing. We know something is good, but we're not doing it. Then how to? That means we're weak. So we should associate with those who are strong. That will help us. So, I'll finish there. That's all for now. Because I just want to have a little meeting with a few devotees. Again tomorrow, midday, I'll be in class. Is there? I don't know. Is there? We can...